This past week was the Family Bible Conference, and our theme was taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. If you would please join me there. And again, first of all, let me say thank you for your prayers for us. It was an incredible week of study and fellowship, etc. And much was given and offered to us. I do want to bring one portion of that to you, and I hope you will forgive me for using my last week's study to be my sermon prep and bring you this today, but it's a beautiful part of the passage, also very challenging, and there's one overriding point that I want to bring to you on the heels of what we just discussed a little bit in our time of sharing. And so, as I said, please join me in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, reading through verse 25. This is the Word, the Holy Word, the inspired, inerrant Word of the Lord. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." And that was our theme for the week, walking in step with the Spirit. And so it was a week-long study of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, as I said, it came in many different forms. Those of you who were able to join us for the week, thank you so very much. Just a real brief background: the book of Galatians is Paul's first letter written to the church of Galatia, which is today Turkey. And it is primarily a letter of discontent. It would verge on the letter of anger. Because over in the first chapter, Paul says, "You have forgotten the gospel. You have forgotten the gospel I taught you." Because there were people who come into the church and didn't just objectively, blatantly teach a different form of worship and a different form of teaching. They just simply added a little nuance, added a little bit to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and said, "Okay, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but you got to do this too." And Paul says, those who teach that kind of thing are to be accursed. Or as Stephen Myers, who preached to us in the evening, said, that word should be, they should be damned. And take the full gravity of that word. And then the book of Galatians speaks to justification. You're not justified under the law, you're justified under the faith alone through Jesus Christ. And so the first five and some four chapters are about justification, being justified in Jesus Christ. That point in time when the Holy Spirit comes in and redeems your heart, changes that old heart of stone, gives you that heart of flesh, and you become a new believer. You become a new creation. But then here in the passage I just read to you, Paul makes a twist, makes a turn, and immediately begins talking about sanctification. Now, sanctification is that phase of our lives where we are growing more and more into Christ, more and more into the things of Christ. And that at some point in time, I pray, well, at our time of glorification, then we will be that completed, mature being in Christ. Justification is key. That brings you into the kingdom of heaven. But it is sanctification, that work along with the Holy Spirit, that brings you, matures you to that point of being Christ-like. Well, here in this passage, Paul gives us that crisis. that battle. And he does it negatively first. He says, do not walk by the flesh, but walk by the Spirit. Now, let's just define those two terms really, really, really briefly. Spirit, you got Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Spirit, the Father, walking in line, walking in step with the Spirit. But to say that one is walking in the flesh, meaning that we are walking in our own energy, we're walking in our own power, we're walking in the ways of the world, we're walking, living our lives, conducting ourselves in the way that I see. I'm in charge. The way I see things should be done. And so here Paul says that's the tension. That we are born into this world sinners. At the point of justification, Jesus Christ coming into our hearts, we are changed into that new being, that new creation. But that old sin nature is still there. And everyone in this room can say amen, right? It's there. And so that tension, that battle is there. Now, Paul gives us a very degrading list of evident sins. Sexual immorality, orgies, drunkenness, divisions, dissension, etc., etc. But note at the end of it, it says, and things like this. So don't think that because you haven't committed one of these specifically, you're in the clear. Folks, it's just sin. Paul's talking about sin. Our friend Maury Loing, in a conversation when he gets into, he'll go, it's just sin. And that's what Paul is talking about. When we are driven by the flesh, when we walk according to the flesh, then our actions are sinful. It doesn't matter how high morals you might hold. It doesn't matter the community you live in and how high regard they hold you. If you do a good-natured community act and you're not a believer, you're in sin. And that is living by the flesh. But then he contrasts that. And here we are accustomed to these nine characteristics of the Christian life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. But as was pointed out to us several times in several different seminars and in Stephen's messages, please look with me at verse 22. And note the grammar. I don't do many grammar things. It ain't my strength, but here we go. The first three words, but the fruit. Please notice, fruit is singular. It is not plural. It does not say, but the fruits are. It says that the fruit of the Spirit is. Singular. So what does that mean about this list of nine characteristics of the Christian life? All of them. You don't get one. You don't get five of the nine. You don't get four of the nine. You got them all. I think that's an important factor for us to know. Because some of you will say, okay, loving, joyful, patient, okay, I got that. Kindness, goodness, not my strength. I'll work on the three I have and that, Self-control, I got it, no worries. But you're a dictator in your everyday life. You lose out on the gentleness and kindness part. But see, that's not the way it works. One of our speakers said it's like a blackberry. A blackberry. A blackberry is a blackberry, except it has different lobes on it that consist and put together to make it a blackberry. You can't take one of those things off and say, okay, I'm going to have this part. Well, one, it would squish in your fingers and you wouldn't have anything. But that's an important point for us all to know, that we should be thriving, excelling, seeking after all these different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I know me personally. I know my strengths. Some of you know me very well, and I'll rate well in some of these. Patience. I won't score 100 there. Joy. I'm pretty good. I have a good time wherever we are. That's not really what that means. But kindness depends on who you ask. So the message here is, if we're walking according to the flesh, then we're going to excel in these sinful things up here, and we're going to have no regrets in it. But if we are walking in the Spirit of God, if we're walking in the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, we should be seeking after these. And when I'm not gentle and kind to my neighbor, I should be convicted at that moment. We had a testimony about that just a few minutes ago. And they were convicted. So here in this list of walking by the Spirit, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? What does it mean to walk by the flesh? Well, it simply means you conduct your life in accordance with whatever the measure and law is of that particular one. The law of walking in the flesh, meaning you're living your life according to the worldly ways, and you have no problem in the sinfulness, you have no conviction of the wrongdoings, you have no problem with X. And Paul says, those will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it must be said here that if you falter into one of these areas on occasion, there is a dissension, there is a division, there is an envy that comes to bear in your life for a period of time. That does not mean that you have lost the kingdom of heaven. Because we are redeemed, but yet that sinful nature still resides. And so if I fall into that divisive kind of language, or I'm a part of a dissension within the church, but I realize I'm convicted of my sin, I confess, I repent, and am returned to good standing with my neighbors, then that's the repentant life. What this is talking about is that lifestyle, that you are in it, you have no conviction of it. The flesh drives your desires. And the same is true for the things of the Spirit, that I live my life in concert with the things being led by the Spirit. All right, now, here's the overriding point I'd like to make. I told you this is going to be short and sweet. Paul has noted here the tension, the struggle, the trials, the heartache. Look with me at verse 17. And see, here he says it in the first half of the sentence. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. Here's the battle. We are fleshly people. We are born into this world in sin. We are born into this world in our fleshly natures. It is what we do normally. It is what we do naturally. As I told my Sunday school, when you look out across the world, this pagan world we live in, and the pagans are committing sin one right after another, why are we surprised? We should not be. They're living according to the flesh. They're following the law of the flesh. They're following the rules of the flesh. It's part of their nature. It's just who they are. But then those who are redeemed, they are given the Holy Spirit. And then that Holy Spirit has come into the person, and then that battle begins. Now, this is the point that Stephen made, which I just sat there, and it may be obvious, may have been obvious to others. And this is where I want to speak to all of you who stood up a few minutes ago and those of you who didn't. That struggle, that tension, that war going on within you is a good thing. You should have seen the eyebrows raised just then. Thank you, Lord. Can I have another? But think about it. If you are in the struggle, if you are in the strife, what does that mean is going on inside you? What does that mean as to the one who is present within you? Thank you, the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit's not there, there's not going to be a struggle. If the Holy Spirit's not there, there's not going to be attention. I was sitting on the front row, I think, that night when Stephen said that, and I went, amen! Because I heard that statement as assurance. I heard that statement as the assurance of the Holy Spirit within me. And then I also remember the promise that I had as a part of that sermon 2 weeks ago. He who began a good work in you will not stop until it's finished. Pardon the paraphrase. So, will I win this struggle? Will we win this struggle? Absolutely. Will we win this war? Absolutely. And so that struggle that's going on in you, the health issues, the family battles that are going on around you, if you only had eyes to see that, then that's all we'd see, isn't it, Jackson? Yeah, that's all we'd see. But when you take the blinders off and say, I see the Holy Spirit working in my life. I know the Holy Spirit is here because I got carpet burns on my knees. I got bruises and wounds and cuts and battle scars. And so I left there the other night going, well, thank you, Lord. Because again, I say so that we understand it clearly. And this may resonate with some of you because there may be some in this room going, I'm not struggling with anything. Might need to check your heart. See who really owns it. Because if the struggles are there, as Paul cited in this passage, if the tension is there, the battle is going on between the flesh, pushing back, saying, no, you cannot have him. But the Holy Spirit says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will. And that battle goes on. And again, to me, that was an incredible assurance. And I thought back to that sermon last week. And that's why I did what I did a few minutes ago, to let you stand up and talk. Because I wanted to hear. I wanted you to voice. I wanted the other people to hear the struggles and the trials and the heartaches and the amazing things that God has done and fed and taught and led so that others can hear it. But then also to give you this word of assurance that the struggle that you're going through is a sign and a seal that the Holy Spirit is there and He is working and He is pushing back in you against that fleshly desire, against that fleshly self. Now, the closing words of chapter 5, verse 25. You have your Bibles. There's somewhat of a conditional statement here. There's somewhat of a conditional clause here. I don't think it's fully conditional, but I'm going to use it that way for just a bit. Verse 25, if A, then B. If not A, then not B. All right? If we live by the Spirit. All right, first of all, let's take this as a point of being. If we live by the Spirit. All right, who is going to live by the Spirit? Okay, it's not a trick question, folks. Who? The believer. Who is going to live by the Spirit? The believer. The redeemed. The one with a new heart. The one that's a new creation. Okay, so there I can't take it necessarily as a conditional, but as a point of fact. You can reword it this way, and please forgive me for rewording holy text, but just to understand. As we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, there's a do on our part. God did the first half. As we live in the Spirit, that's justification. That's God's work. He elected us before the creation of time. He said, Jackson, brother, I'm going to have you as mine. The day of when he was born, the day he was redeemed, etc., etc. That's done. As we live by the Spirit. But the second part is ours. That's sanctification. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, that begs the question, how do you keep in step with the Spirit? You make yourself available to the means of grace. You make yourself available to the teaching. You make yourself available to the prayer. You make yourself available to the fellowship on a constant, consistent basis, not sporadic. If you feed sporadically, you will perform sporadically. Consistency, a constancy. I couldn't help but to think of Marley. We ran into one of Marley's high school friends last night at the baseball game, and they shared band together. I can remember taking Marley to band practice. Any, all of you in the band, or had, were in the band, they would go out there on that football field, and for hours, ad nauseum, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and they, you know, and by the time Friday night got here, all of them were in the same step together. But it took those hours of practice and work and getting chewed on and getting encouraged. But then when they showed up on Friday night, they were walking in step. Okay, that's the Christian life. If you don't do the practice, you ain't going to do the walking. So don't expect it. Expect the battles to be overwhelming. But when you are fed by the Holy Spirit and you do the things necessary to make yourself available to that feeding, then when it comes time, when you get the news that it's not very pleasant, yeah, it hurts. But I don't lose step. I don't lose step. So, if you're in the midst of battle, be assured. That shows the Holy Spirit's working. But we must give ourselves to and make ourselves available to that work of teaching, that work of encouraging, that work of inspiring, even convicting. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful word. Thank you for the weak teaching we had in the past. But, oh Lord, feed these right here before you right now. Ensure, assure and bring comfort to these who are struggling. But to all of us, let us know that that work of the Spirit is done. We live by the Spirit because we are redeemed in Jesus Christ. But also now, Lord, give us that courage, give us that purpose, give us that intent, that hope, that as we walk with the Spirit, that we live our lives with the Spirit, that we will see that great evidence of the maturing in Christ. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen. Amen.